Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Cole Queen. But there you are. Would you mind opening up with a word of prayer?
Hallelujah.
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 When you are saying Yahushua, the Mashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, send for me. We thank you for the gift of life, Father.
Amen.
We thank you for this time that you have set apart for us, Father.
Amen.
And we ask that you be out.
Amen.
Father, thank you. And forgive us for all our sins that we commit knowingly and unknowingly, Father. Thank you for chastising us and bringing us back to your path when we've done wrong in your eyes, Father.
Amen.
We ask, Father, that you continue to open our eyes and open our ears your word, Father, that you continue to grow us, that you continue to feed us, Father, turn us into the men and the women that you want and desire, Father.
Amen.
Father, we ask that anybody who's hurting physically, mentally, spiritually, Father, that you comfort them according to your word, Father, according to your good pleasure. Give us the things that we need, Father. Give us the strength to overcome any obstacles that the adversary might put in our way, Father.
Amen.
Anyone who's here on their way to worship you, wherever they're at in the world, Father, give them their safety.
Amen.
Uplift their hearts and uplift their minds that they may praise you worthily, Father.
Amen.
Of all the things that you are, that you deserve, Father.
Amen.
Father, we ask that you open up our teacher, our Moray, our Bell's mind to your word, Father, that you put your word within him, and that a good vessel, Father, and that you bring forth your knowledge through him and edify us, Father.
Amen.
We wait to hear your words and we wait to hear what you have for us today.
Amen.
In Yahushua's name, we ask all these things. Give we praise, glory, and hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe, his servant, Yisrael, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Kol Shabbat, family. All right. I believe I got a good sound check right now. Okay. And shalom, everybody. All right. And welcome to Study to Show Thyself Approved unto Yahweh. A workman that be not ashamed. This is the second lesson of the 6-week series, and the subject matter, or the title rather, well, the subject matter is love, and the title is Love Is. Just to remind anyone who might be tuning in, especially if you are a newer listener, please make sure you have your tools handy, your your Bible, whatever form you use, whether it be electronic or hard copy, and also a King James Version concordance or whatever concordance of the version that you use, as your study aids, as we like to go through the Word and we talk about Yahweh's Word, we want to make sure that we're not just talking. We want to make sure that it is some interaction and that you as the individual listener, you as the individual person is taking the opportunity and taking the time to make sure and fact check and make sure that what is said being said here is according to the Word and does line up with the Word according to the truth of Yahweh and His Spirit. So with that being said, I'm going to get started this morning. And again, love is. And if the love is dot, 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 it is meant to be left with putting a certain thought or a certain question in mind in regards to this term that, you know, that we use. And, you know, in the English language, of course, it's L-O-V is how it's spelled, but it has so many, there's a certain level of ambiguity to it, because in the context in which it, you know, it is often used. But one of the things that we want to make sure that we are doing is learning this term, whether it's in our language or not, based on how our Heavenly Father wants us to understand this term, what it means to love, and what love is to Yahweh. Because it is not something that, especially as believers, we can define for ourselves. A whole lot of stuff, you know, is going on in the world. You know, a few videos were sent out yesterday on the line and about different things that have taken place, you know, one of which was right here in our city, you know, and sadly to say, you know, the gentleman that was attacked, you know, somebody that I used to see on the train in the morning when I would ride in. And, you know, at that time in the morning, 5 o'clock, you catch that 5 o'clock train, you ain't really talking to nobody, you know, but you do get familiar with one another because there's very few people that's going to be on the train at 5 o'clock in the morning, that first train that comes in. And everybody's still trying to wake up, you know, trying to get your mind ready for work. And, you know, you're doing whatever you're doing, playing on your phone, reading or whatever. And, you know, we would all casually greet one another. Hey, brother. Hey, brother. Hey, brother. You know, and to see that act take place with him, which from, you know, what we see, it just seems like he was minding his business, going to work, you know. And, you know, that time of the morning, especially, you know, once we start getting into the latter parts of the quote-unquote year, you know, it's dark. You know, thankfully, well, I won't say thankfully, but happened at a time of the year where there was enough light. But at the time that it happened, normally we're commuting in the dark, you know. And I think of my commute in the morning as I get off the subway and where I get off at, and as I walk, there ain't no cameras out there, you know. I walk through a very dark parking lot. You know, and hopefully, you know, at times we try to herd with one another, but there are people out there at that time of the morning that are getting ready for whatever business they plan on getting into for the day, you know. But to see that, you know, happen to him, you know, it makes you feel, makes you hurt, made me hurt, makes you feel a little vulnerable. And then, you know, you also wonder, you know, how is it, how are we, when I say we, I mean black people, how are we going to change the narrative for ourselves? How do we expect things to change if we are not changing? If we are still perpetuating certain things, and then what, these acts of violence, and then when they're perpetuated against us, we want everybody to feel our pain. But if you inflict that type of pain on others, how do you expect people to really feel? How many excuses can you produce for this situation that we put ourselves into? How, it's one thing to say this happened and I decided I wanted to defend myself, or this happened. You had a moment of youthful foolishness. Okay. But then to perpetuate it with the level of violence that you did now, it's not one thing to just kick somebody once while they're down and they're not fighting back, than to repeatedly strike that person over and over again, and they're not fighting back. Why? What could have been said? What could have been done to say, now, I am going to act in this manner, when they're not fighting back to say, I got to continue on? It's one thing now if it's the level of there's, you know, an offender and a defender now, and, you know, now you say, well, I put my fist up, that person put their fist up, and we just had to go at it. Cut the man down. Got him on the ground. What more do you, what more justification can you put on top of that? And you see that nobody's safe. Deputy police commissioner, he got robbed at gunpoint. Just so happens it's even somebody now I can say I'm familiar with, one of the perpetrators. For what? For what? You know what I mean? It's like, what possesses you to say, I must do this? What is your motive? What is your reasoning? What justification do you have for acting in that manner? You know? And we can clearly see, and it's not to paint this picture that all is gloom and all is doom, but there is a lack of love. And I hate to, you know, you don't want to sound cliche, you don't want to sound corny, you know. And again, reflecting on some, you know, the videos that have been shared, and even when I took the time to share, just to clarify whether or not this is taking place in our beloved city. And you even see among those who claim to be carrying a light, or the light, and the word of the Most High, and you're trying to bring a certain awareness to people, but on what level? You know, on what level? You know, it's like, if we are called to be these quote-unquote combatants, we've had an example that was set for us thousands of years ago on how and where and why, where and how to combat this sort of thing. You know, as what we read last week, he could have came in with all kinds of condemnation. He could have came in and said, you know what, everybody deserves death. Everybody deserves to be destroyed. I'm going to come in, and all I'm going to tell you is you are not worthy. You are not deserving. He could have said that. He could have come in and said all of that to everyone, not just the Pharisees, not just the Sadducees. He could have said that to everyone he encountered. But to those that were deserving of it, of course, you're not entering, you're not allowing others to enter the kingdom. Neither you enter the kingdom. You because you are putting a roadblock to people entering into the kingdom, guess what? You ain't entering either. But when you think about some of the talk that comes across from people who claim to represent the Most High, that's what they're saying to people. You're closed off based on nothing other than simply you look different than another person. Is that how the Almighty is portrayed? Is that how you view the Almighty, the Most High, TMH, as he is called, the Most High? As someone who wants to see people excluded just based on anything other than their actions and their relationship towards him? Just because you're of a different ethnic, quote-unquote, racial, because the Creator don't see race. Race is something that mankind has created. When I say race, color race, race is as far as even the physical races. That's something that's the creation of mankind in their unyielding, unrelenting quest for destruction. Because that's all it is. Because even when you think about just the physical race, I must succeed so you can lose. That's the whole point of it. There can only be one number one. And if you're striving to be number one, that means you want everybody to be number two. And so on and so forth. And even though Paul uses that as an example of this walk we had, but at the same time, he equated those who worship or came into this relationship with the Creator as all one, as equal heirs, even when he was talking about husband and wife, we're equal heirs to this thing. So where does mankind, where are people coming up with this doctrine? Where have people, and how do you substantiate? And one of the things I hate when I see those things that, as we call them, our angry cousins bring out. You take one single scripture, and nobody, and this is the part that nobody, and not that I pray that I encounter them, but when we do, stop right there. Thank you. You read your scripture. Now let's read the chapter. Let's get the context. Let's get the mindset in which all of this is being said. Because you take one single scripture and you say that is the totality of what the Creator is saying. No. If somebody had simply said, pause, let's start at, instead of going to Isaiah, the 47th chapter, I'm not sure if that's the one that they use, but this verse, let's start at the chapter. Let's start with the mindset and the context, even if it starts two or three chapters before. Because oftentimes that one snippet that the prophet is speaking, what he's saying, has started in how man has divided up chapters before, where the Creator is deliberating through the prophet with Yisrael. And he's always dealing, and especially with the prophets. And when you talk to Isaiah, when you talk Yeshayahu, he is dealing with Yisrael in their broken, corrupt state first and foremost. And that's the part that a lot of these blowhards fail to realize. Judgment must start at Beth Yahweh. Judgment must start in your own house. Judgment must start at yourself. The Most High stated it like this: judge not, or ye shall be judged. For the judgment you judge, you're going to be judged for.
Amen.
And that's what a lot of them ain't realizing. You, every time you say, you ain't part of the nation because you look like this, you ain't part of the nation. Nobody, they never address it for, you ain't part of the nation because you think like this. You ain't part of the nation because you don't have a relationship with the Creator like this. It's always, it starts off with, you don't have a relationship because you're this. You don't have a relationship. And every time you do, whosoever diggeth a pit, that scripture shall fall in it. Because you start digging so many pits for people, you forget where you're digging these pits. And as you start walking, you're going to fall in one of these pits. And that's a true life story. That's real life right there. But not to get off into too many things. Love is. We're going to talk about that. But before, and I'm going to be reading out of Matthew, the 5th chapter. But before we go there, you know, I always like to start off with the granddaddy of it, you know, where it all began. Because we are at this place, and one of the things that Abba helped me realize, we are at this place by our choosing. We are where we are as people, as human beings, because this is based on choices we have made. We're going to start here. And y'all know I love to go here. Bereshit, Genesis, 3rd chapter. He says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath Yah said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? I'm sorry, that should be Elohim. Hath El said. 3:2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Elohim hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For Elohim doth know in that day ye should eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. You're going to be a little L. You're going to be just like them, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant for the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, which with her, and he did eat. Now, I want to pause right there for a second and ask, what happened at that point? What did Hawa and Adam do at that point? Disobey? Yes, they did. What else did they do? Doubt? Yes, they did. What else did they do? Listen to the serpent, absolutely. did. They made a choice. And what was the choice? Yes, they did. They chose to die.
Yeah.
Simply put. Simply put. They chose to die. You know what I'm saying? And everything that y'all said is absolutely correct. All of that they did. But just think about it. They chose at that point to say, you know what? All that we've got right here, we'd rather die. You know, I don't want to just go out there in the garden and pick fruit. I don't want to go and pet the lion. I don't want to have it good. I don't want to have everything that we wish for. And I had a rough week wanting, had a dream that I came into tons of money. And it was so real in the dream, I was crying, tears of joy. I was like, woo, hallelujah. I ain't gonna lie. The dream was, and this was Thursday night, I dreamt, and I don't bet. Y'all know I'm chinchy, I'm tight. I don't like gambling money. And I bet on four horses, right? Shocking. That's how you know it was a dream. And I remember the man coming to me and telling me, John, you won. And I'm like, I won? Won what? You won $55,000. And I was like, you lying. You can't be for real. And in the dream, I got on my knees. I was like, hallelujah. I'm seriously, I'm like, I'm crying tears of joy. Because I'm like, we can fix the roof. We can get air conditioning. We can get the new furnace. We can do the driveway. Oh, my goodness. We can even go on a vacation. We can have a trip. Oh, my goodness. I can pay for my daughter's school. I can do this. I can do this. All this came to my mind. And then as I'm going to find my wife to tell her, baby, we want some money. I'm like, wait a minute. Literally in my dream. I'm like, hold up. This ain't where my wife works. Just a dream. And I'm like, no. No. This can't be. Because it felt so weird. And in the dream, I had this rush of joy that, like, wow, my burdens have been uplifted and my prayers have been answered. But what I desire to have, that those burdens of this world taken off of me, Carl and Ida didn't know that. They didn't know no burdens before they ate this fruit. They knew nothing of struggle. They knew nothing of hardship. They knew nothing of having to even, they had Yahweh as their butler. Y'all realize that? Yahweh was their Alfred Pennyworth. Y'all know who Alfred Pennyworth is? The Batman butler. Waited on hands and foot. Changed his diaper as a baby. Even as a grown man as Batman, he would lick his wounds for him, take care of him, stitch him up, make him feel good. Go out there fighting crime at night, get beat up. Alfred! There you go, Master Bruce. Think about it. He had Jarvis. He had Jesus. Yahweh was their caretaker. They wanted from nothing. And they listened to this little old creature that told them, you lying. He don't want y'all to experience life or what life really is. YOLO, YOLO, you only live once. Take this dive with me. Come on, y'all. Let's see what life is like on the other side. And they fell for it. And humanity has not been the same ever since. Humanity has not been the same ever since. And the sad part about it is, now there is this thing called death. And what is death? The absence of life. That every second that we live, the spirit of life is being forced out of our body. Whether it comes by tragic circumstances, car accident, falling down some stairs, gunshot, whatever. Whether you live to be a ripe old age, just like Yahushua ben Sirach told us last week, to be 100 years old, eventually your time is going to expire. So once they did that, they put an expiration date on everything. Think about it. Who are the Adam and Eve? Put an expiration date on everybody who came after them. And now, we are getting to a point, and it got so bad to a point where I would look down and say, my goodness, look at what they're doing. It's filled with nothing but violence and corruption down there. I got to put an end to it. I've got to stop them from destroying themselves. Think how powerful that nature is within us. That if Yahweh doesn't intervene, he even says it, if I don't intervene, if I don't come down and put an end to it, no flesh will be spared. Because as long as there's two of y'all left, somebody going to wish to do harm to the other. Somebody going to wish to do harm to the other. It didn't take long after they were kicked out before they had two sons, Cain and Abel. And one destroyed the other because of his nature. And because he didn't heed the word. And Abba even pleaded with him. I said, man, what's wrong with you? Why your face look like that? Why is your countenance fallen? Why are you discouraged? Why are you downsized? Did he just obey? And not even so much obey. Yahweh, follow your brother's example. Follow Abel's example. You even got to listen to me. Just be like your brother. Look at what he's doing. Look at how I'm receiving his gift. But he said, oh, no way. No way am I going to be like that goody two shoes over there. No way am I going to submit to you. I got mommy and daddy's nature. I'm going to be just, matter of fact, I'm going to top their disobedience by not just saying, I'm not going to listen to you, Yahweh. I don't want to hear what you got to say. Now I'm going to kill my brother just to show you how much I am happy with being disobedient to you. That's what he did. So we see that it didn't take long for this lack of love, because we started out last week with the love that Yahweh had for us. And all he wants for that to do is be reciprocated. Love Yahweh with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Those weren't Yahushua's words. That came from the Torah. This thing that we wish to uphold. You know, many use that as their crowning glory. In the, we've got the Torah. But do you really have the Torah? If you're out there spewing hate, spewing division, instead of, because when Yahweh first gave the Torah, first he asked, who's on my side? Once he asked who was on my side, they made that allegiance with him. And the first thing he said, okay, I got to flip the game up. I'm not going to allow them to kill y'all. Y'all go ahead and y'all kill the disobedient. See, you see how Yahweh does things? See, Cain killed Abel because of his disobedience. Then he had the brothers who wanted to be obedient and be aligned with Yahweh go and lay hands to their brothers who were disobedient to Yahweh, those who knew better. That was their first act. Now, all of them that worship that calf, kill them. It's so funny, both times a little lamb was involved. One, the Abel raised. One, the Aaron raised. But it's the same scenario. And that had to come about, why? Because of lack of love. Or towards Yahweh. You see what I'm saying? So, when we think about all these things that are taking place, what is the solution? How are we going to get past it? How are we going to, as people who are called and who believe they have the light and who believe they have truth, are we going to fall victim to the same mindset as those that are out there? Because our mindset has to be different. I personally feel that those brothers do what they do because they don't want to look at themselves. They don't want to face themselves. They don't want to face the harsh reality, which has always been Israel's problem. We don't want to face the harsh reality of what we have done to ourselves. Because we did it. Adam and Eve did it to themselves. Cain did it to himself. Everybody who doesn't obey the voice of Yahweh, who has been called into a relationship with him, who knows the Torah, you do it to yourself. It's better not to even take, don't even go near this Torah if you're not going to be 10 toes in it and really willing to have this relationship with me. Because at any point that you don't, you can't, to hear that a brother has an opportunity to be on the forefront of representing the Creator and call yourself an activist first. You don't mention Yohei Wahei, regardless of what the backlash and repercussions will be. You'd rather be an activist in the community first. You ain't worthy. You're not worthy. Because Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yonah, Yahushua, Moshe stood on that Yohei Wahei even when stones were about to be hurled at him. Jeremiah was put in a dungeon because he told Israel what Yahweh told him, and they didn't want to hear it. Put him in the deepest part of the dungeon. Even to the point where they whipped, stripped, whipped, put a crown of thorns on his head, and hung up the very salvation that they had sought for centuries. So what does that say then? Do you want it or not? No, what you want to do is you want people to feel sorry for your circumstances that you create for yourself. It's like the person who amasses all this debt and says, bail me out. Because that's what we have amassed by our disobedience. We have amassed, we have amassed a whole bunch of debt to our Creator. But then now we want somebody else to flip the bill for it. No. The bill is due on our.
Amen.
He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Simple as that. Our forefathers. Going back. And it's so funny. They didn't do it because you could look at what Adam and Eve did as not receiving Yahweh. That's what they did.
Amen.
They chose the other path. So anyway, I'm going to start reading now in the book of Matthew. I'm going to start reading the 5th chapter, family. Again, let's hear these words that are being spoken.
Amen.
And try to understand them. It don't matter what people understand outside these walls. That's not my concern.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you right now, my concern ain't outside these walls.
Come on.
I have no investment in a whole lot of people outside these walls.
Amen.
That's just me. If you disagree with me, and I'm sorry, correct me if I'm wrong. My investment is within these walls. And when I say that, within the Yahweh congregation.
Amen.
This is where my investment is, where my brothers and my sisters here, first and foremost, because we have a job to do. I love your shirt. We have a job to do. And we cannot equate and associate what the others have as our task, because that is not it. Those who sat under him know we have been given a specific charge. Whether people receive it or not, they didn't receive Yahushua, they not
going
to receive us.
Come on.
That's how it is, for real.
Amen.
That's how it is. But we still have to be different. We still have to represent in a way that others ain't going to be. Others don't have the courage to represent. Because it's easy to talk this political game. It's easy to talk the obvious. We struggle. We suffering as black people.
Come on.
It's obvious. It's obvious what we've been going through now for thousands of years. Like something came up in my timeline that I didn't know the Bronx Zoo. You should have had black people on display as zoological exhibits. Human beings, black people, were on display in the Bronx Zoo. There are pictures of it. But why did all of this happen to us? And how do we make it right? Because think about it. We went through the Maccabees. Our people are powerful people. And Yahweh, when he on our side, can't nothing stop us. We read the scenario where he came down with the angel and said, which weapon you want? I got tons of weapons. Just like in the Matrix. Watch that last yesterday and last night. Add a little bit of it this morning. I need weapons. A room of weapons that he couldn't even walk up and down in enough time to get it. Which one you want? Pick it. All right. He picked a bag full. When it's time to get down, he got down. That's from the Maccabees. Because when it was time to get down, Yahweh said, check this out. I'm going to put my arm. He said, send the angel down. I'm going to put my armor on you. So you ain't got to worry about nothing touching you. And then on top of that, I'm going to let you choose whatever weapon you want when you go out there and I slay for you. That was just between Yahweh, the angel, and the fighter. And he let him slay tens of thousands with that power. So if anything happened to us, knowing that we have access to that kind of power, what happened? He pulled away from the access to the power. Simple as that. So if we aren't that powerful, guess what? And the enemy knows this. The enemy knows it better than we do. Let us deal wisely with them, lest they side with our enemies. Don't think for one second they don't read the Bible and know this. But now in order for us to get up and out of Egypt, we have to work back on getting that relationship with Yahweh. That's the only way. If he did it back then, he'll do it again. But he's got to be the one to get the glory. Not some political activist that is a part-time believer in Yahweh. Not somebody who is first and foremost worried about the plight of the black community. The plight of the black community is simple as this. And there are Egyptians that are part of that. We learned that in the scriptures too. Come back to me, my people. Let's relate as mommy and daddy, as Abba and child again. And I'll take care of your needs. Not immediately. There's a process to it. And that's what he's working on. He needs to know that first, that love affair is back with me. And once y'all have this love affair back with me and what I will for you to do, I'm going to take care of the business. I'm going to take care of y'all. He did it there. He did it during the time of the New Testament. Quote, unquote, New Testament. Look at what he did for them in the book of Acts. There was a long time miracles hadn't taken place. And once these believers of all nations, colors, and creeds started coming in and said, we disavow everything that we grew up and knew, and we want to attach ourselves, like Ruth said, your God will be my God, and your people will be my people, then miracles started happening again. To the point where Yahweh gave them a rush of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. But it has to take everybody being on one accord, when it comes to dealing with this relationship with him. But until then, you could talk all you want down at the Inner Harbor in Baltimore. You could speak with all the force in your voice down at the Inner Harbor in Baltimore. It ain't going to amount to it. You could be on a national spotlight for black activism for Baltimore, and it ain't going to count to nothing if he does not get the glory. Because that's what he requires. He says, I am Yahweh. I'm Yahweh. My glory, I'm not giving to nobody else. Hence why Malcolm X couldn't do it. Hence why Martin Luther King couldn't do it. Hence why John F. Kennedy couldn't do it. Hence why any other brother who comes along, whether you call yourself a Hebrew Israelite or not, can't do it. Because if you're not giving honor to the one who allows you the opportunity to represent him. See, this is why many are called. This book is accessible to anybody. It's an open call to read it. But who gets chosen out of those? Think about it, y'all. Y'all ever watch America's Got Talent? I do. when these talent shows came up, millions of people show up. Those millions get distilled down to hundreds of thousands. Then those hundreds of thousands get distilled down to tens of thousands. Then those tens of thousands get distilled down to thousands, then to hundreds, then to tens, then to one. Who will be that one? That's an example of the world. Many, look, they put out what's called the casting call. You see why Yahweh give us these things in this life to understand? Think about it. Even when you listen to certain actors, they said, I really wanted that role, but they chose so-and-so an actor. But the open casting call even went out to the million-dollar actors. And they might say, you know what? You might look the part, but you don't sound the part. You sound the part, but you don't look the part. They want that person who, when that role comes up, they put emphasis. They can, as they talk about this method act, where they put themselves into the role, mind, heart, and soul. But Yahweh wants the same thing, but he wants it in sincerity. Don't act the part. He don't like being a hypocrite. But he wants you in there, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. That's what he wants. He wants to know you're in it, not for fame and glory. Really? We got the Hebrew Israelite stars now? Y'all stars for yourself instead of being vessels for Yahweh? I can see how he sometimes is scratching his head like, for real? Y'all reading all these prophets? And you don't see where Moshe says, where it says about Moshe, he was the most humble in his house. One who even got the opportunity to say, I'm going to raise up a prophet like unto him. Him shall you hear. That means Moshe was the prototype. If somebody is coming after him that is supposed to be likened unto him, and he says, listen to him, sounds like John the Baptist and Yahushua in that situation. Yeah? But anyway, we're going to read from Matthew 5th chapter. And he says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And go back and read each one of these things, because it's a long read, but look at where it says poor in spirit and what that phrase actually means. Blessed are they, that means you are depressed in this system. That means, when I say depressed, not so much depressed in the sense that you are depressed as in your mood is down, even though being in this system, it will take your mood down. But he's saying, if this system is giving you the moody blues, you blessed for that. Why? Because now you want something better.
Amen.
You want a better way. So he says, blessed are those who are depressed in their spirit about this system, for theirs is the kingdom of Yah. So when people are treating you mean based on what you believe, when people make fun of you because you look a little different, when your own peers, and I'm not even talking about the stranger, the coworkers, I'm talking about those who are supposed to be in relationship with the Creator, when they look at you and they scorn you because, well, hold up, we wear the VT on $45, bro. Some strings you got hanging on looking like a European. Why you wear that hat on your head looking like a Muslim? So when they see that, that's not saying I want to educate you first. They want to tear you down. I want to ridicule you first. That's what they're doing. So he says 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Did you see, blessed are the powerful and the strong and the mighty? Because, see, here's the thing. Yahweh right now can fracture this planet in half and break it into a bajillion little itty-bitty particles. If he like. At his will, the heavens opened up and poured out so much rain, and the deep opened and poured out so much rain that he damaged this planet to a point where now it's just starting to get to a point where it's healing back up. That's the power of the Creator. We heard about it last week. He got a whole warehouse. He got a whole easy storage full of hail of different sizes, snow with each individual gabajillion snowflakes all different, made by the angels. He's got storehouses for the rain. He's got a place where he says, I'm going to turn my wind machine on, and I'm going to send a north wind, I'm going to send a south wind, and each one of these winds is going to bring north winds, bring the nice, cool, refreshing air. South winds bring that hot, hazy, humid air. That's all within his command.
Right.
He's got, the other day, the clouds were just so beautiful. Immense amount of clouds. Wait a minute. And that was, Abba had just told us the week, the Shabbat before, he got a place where he got a cloud factory. Cloud. Clouds that look so full, but yet, when you go through it, if you've ever been in an airplane, you just fly right through. But it also contains, that's where he sends the rain down from.
Right.
And one of the prophets even said, the clouds are the dust of his feet.
Right.
As he's walking around in heaven, he's making clouds with what's underneath his feet.
Right.
That's the Creator that is over the universe, y'all. Okay? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You don't hear them cats talking about no righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. I wish you was on fire so I could act like I'm going to give you water, but it actually be gasoline, so when you dip your head in it, the rest of your body will burn. That's not supposed to come out of somebody's mouth who worships the Most High, TMH. He said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Yah. Blessed are those who are shalom makers, for they shall be called what? Beni Yah. Huh? Bnei Yah. They shall be called the children of Yah. 5:10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, not go out persecuting people, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Trust me, the time is coming. And we ain't got to worry about no government officials. That's coming from people right down at the inner harbor. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so what? Check this out, y'all. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So don't think we're going to be buddy-buddy with them folks. I ain't talking about government officials. I ain't talking about the CIA. We know they the enemy. I'm talking about the very ones that we think we want to rub elbows with. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. But, you see how black people have high blood pressure? Did you know that salt? Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? So he's letting you know that there is the opportunity to lose that flavoring that Abba has granted unto you. And if you lose the flavoring that Abba has granted unto you, you can't be salt. Just think about when we go, think about when you even spread that, what they call salt on the ground when it's winter outside. Once that boy is dried up and absorbed up, you got to go out and resalt it. Why? Because it's done. And it ain't doing it no more. So every time that ice come and you got to go out there and resalt, that's because that part of the salt did its part. It can't be resalted. So again, he says 5:13, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thence good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's not an easy thing to do, especially when you've got that chip on your shoulder for what our people are suffering. But we're not called to do what's easy. We are called to do what is humanly difficult, because that's what our Creator did. He did what was humanly difficult to do. He had part of that nature in him, but he had another part of the nature in him that he fed more. Because it said he got all kinds of temptation. What we go through ain't nothing compared to what he had to go through. We ain't got nothing like that on our shoulders but to save our own. The only thing we strive to do is do right so we can get in for ourselves. We ain't causing nobody to be saved. Sure, one planteth, one watereth, but what he says? Y'all ain't give the increase. It ain't up to you. And it's so funny because planting this flower garden this year, we planted some good flowers in that garden. Some of them was robust before we put them in the earth. Did everything we were supposed to do, water it. Guess what? Yahweh said that one's going to die. And that one's going to die too. That one today is going to eat. That one's going to die. And it's so funny because the one that I was ridiculed by my spouse say was going to die, living, still in the pot that we brought him from the store. Didn't even plant him in the ground yet. But now he's sprouting a flower. Yahweh said, I'm going to let you live. Not because Sean Barrett did anything, because Brother Sean ain't did nothing. I ain't did nothing. I left him out there in nature. Now, some of them didn't make it, but that's Yahweh's choice. One plant, one water, but it's up to Yahweh to say, sprout and bring forth life. He says this, 5:17. Think not that I come to destroy the Torah or the Nevi'im. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one yod or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the Torah till all be fulfilled. That goes to those who say we're not supposed to fulfill the Torah still in this day. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. 5:20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is the part that's the killer right here. Because when he's saying these things, he's letting you know this is the common teaching. This has been the common practice that goes along with this. But there's something different. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whoever shall kill be in danger of the judgment. But this is where the magnification of the Torah and making it honorable comes into place. But I, Yahushua, is saying this, say unto you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause, and that's important because without a cause, there are reasons to be angry with your brother. But he says, be angry, but still not, shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever shall say to his brother, Rakai, when you get an opportunity, look up that term. And it's so funny because they try to say that this is a Greek book, but then why the Hebrew term ended? And even when you go and search it in the quote-unquote Greek part of the lexicon, it only gives you a Hebrew reference. But it lets me know somewhere there is a Hebrew translation of this particular book. Okay? You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And if Yahweh opens your eyes, you shall not be fooled. Okay? But I say unto you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Rakah shall be in danger of the council, but whoever shall say to shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. What? Means if you got an issue with any one of your brothers, he say, pause. Don't proceed forth and think that I'm so concerned about that gift that my concern first isn't shalom between brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, children and parents. That's important to him. He said, you can't worship me if you got a beef. You can't worship me and got beef. You can't worship me and got beef. Nah. He let you know right now. Walk away. Walk away. Walk away and hurry and go and reconcile with the person that you got an issue with, because otherwise, roadblock, roadblock, roadblock. He letting you know that. Because the whole point of bringing that sacrifice is to say, forgive me for what I've done, or accept this because I want this, or just because you want to give it. He's like, even if it is a free will offering, he ain't specified which one it was. He said, before you come up in there, he ain't saying whether it's a sin offering, whether it's a free will offering, whether it's some other type of offering. He said, before you stop off, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Think about this, y'all. Especially when I hear, you're a bootlicker. You're a tongue. You got Stockholm Syndrome. There you go, speaking up for your oppressor. Hold up. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and then thou be cast into prison. He said, your adversary, the one who has wronged you, your enemy. Verily I say unto you, I always think about Shabbat. Verily. That I can hear him saying it to you. Verily, verily. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. He said, you ain't getting bailed out if you let that happen. Look at it. You ain't getting bailed. Go study it. Study the show. Thyself approved. Go study that part. You ain't getting out of jail once that happens until you've made recompense. That means the book is going to be allowed to be thrown at you for not being at peace with your brother or sister or spouse or child, or parent. 527, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Be faithful. But I say unto you, be faithful in the flesh, but I say unto you that whoever so looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. See, even though you may think that it's not affecting you and Yahweh, Yahweh is said to be the judge of the heart. So once you start ruminating these things inside your mind, who do you think is looking inside your mind and seeing everything that you're doing? All your lustful thoughts, even if you don't want to act on them, you still got them running around in the wheel in your mind. And Yahweh is watching that DVR going back while I look at them. Boy, wow, really? And Yahweh saying, you already committed adultery. Think about that. You ain't did the physical act, but the mental act Yahweh considers adultery. Watch your thoughts. But I 520, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her heart, with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body shall be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body shall be cast into hell. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever shall marry her that is divorced commit adultery. Again, ye have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto Yahweh thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is Yah's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, but is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. I got a whole lot of white men coming in. Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whosoever is more, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Keep your conversations brief. Keep them short. Reconcile with your spouses. Don't find a way to divorce. 5:38. Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Remember our Hebrew days? Ayin takas ayin, shen takas shen. And everybody goes around thinking, I'm going to bust your eye. You bust my eye. I need to bust your eye out back. You knock my tooth out, I need to knock your tooth out back. But that's for people who really don't understand even what the basic Torah says. Because me ain't saying, look, if you knock my eye out my head, I should get a hammer and bust your eye socket out too. You knock my tooth out, give me something I can knock your tooth out. See, that's not what he's saying. He's talking about fair compensation. That's what the essence of the Torah is talking about. Fair compensation. This is talking about what the Torah actually means by it. If now you damage that man's eye and now he can't see for the right, then you need to give him a seeing eye dog that's going to help him see or help him along the way. If you knock that man's tooth out and he can't chew no food, then you got to go mash his potatoes for him so that he can eat and sustain himself. Or you need to find a way to make sure that that man is fairly compensated for the damage that you've caused. There's a thing in our law called compensatory damages. You cause a certain amount of damage to somebody, you need to compensate them for it. Simple as that. That's Yahweh. Isn't that fair and just? But see, in the world where everything is just an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, that means everybody's going to be walking around blind. I've heard people say that. But that's because y'all dumb and y'all thinking y'all don't have the spirit of Yahweh on you. Not even in the courts do they do that. Not even in the courts do they do that. Oh, man, you caused this man to have this certain damage? If it's willful and malicious, absolutely. They can't give you anything back, but they can compensate you and your family for the damages that have been caused for you. That's why lawsuits get paid out. Baltimore City Police beat you up and cause you harm. They got to pay for your medical expenses. They got to pay for the quality of life that it, how it may impact the quality of your life. That's what these money payouts are for. To make sure you are fairly compensated for the impact that it has on the rest of your life. If God forbid that you have a loved one that died because of medical negligence, then the hospital has to pay you out. That medical person has to pay you for the damage that they have caused. Unfortunately, nothing can bring back if somebody expires as a result of it, but they say, hey, you know what, the money can sometimes ease the pain. And people are glad to do commercials about it all the time. The Cochran firm. They were so good to me that even though so-and-so I lost my daddy, they made sure I was well compensated for it. He said right there, the money helps. It's the truth. That's what the person is saying. It hurts that my family member is gone, but the millions of dollars, these vacations I can go on, that kind of makes due for it. It's the reality. 5:39. But I say unto you that he... 5:38. Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. You know, people hate to hear that. People hate to hear that because that goes against our nature as human beings. Smack, smack! I'm snapping pop. You make me snap, I'm going to pop you. You hit me, I'm going to pop you. Me and my brother often joke about that. Hey, hey, don't mess with me. My brother snapping pop. You hit me, he going to hit you before you draw your hand back. We joke about that all the time. Hey, you might get away with hitting me, but my brother got my back. But he say, look, but I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. But he's not saying to us, we call to be these punching bags, and that's not what's being said here. Absolutely not. Because when it was time to get down, he got down. When it was time to cause to get wrecked, he got wrecked. When it was time to do the deed, he did it. He did what needed to be done. But then, when it was time for him to do this for the will of Yahweh and take a brutal beating, he said he didn't say not one word. He didn't have to allow the Romans to scourge him. He didn't have to allow Caiaphas and all those quote-unquote bought high priests to say what they said to him. This big boy tried to lie on my son the other day, and he wasn't going to tell you. He didn't care how big that boy was. Oh, you ain't going to lie on me and get me in trouble. He could have said that. Y'all lying on me. All these things that y'all accusing me of, I didn't do them. But he said, as a lamb going for the son, he said, he ain't saying anything. He took these false accusations. He took all what they tried to say. He got a demon on him. He cast out demons by Beelzebub. He could have said, no, I didn't. But look at how slick he did it, though. Oh, hold up. If I do that, how do you and this thing do it? He didn't say, no, I don't. Even though he didn't. He could have retorted, no, I don't do that, man. Y'all lying. He said, if I do it by Beelzebub, how you and this thing do it? Very pointed question. They never answered, did they? Hmm? 540. If a man, if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy cloak, let him have thy cloak also. Think about what he's saying. You're going to go through all this litigation over a cloak, a coat. Guess what? I provided a coat for you. Give him that thing. If it's that serious to him, let him have it. Matter of fact, don't just give him the coat. Give him the other part of it too. Don't just give him the vest. Give him the button down jacket also. Let him have it. Guess what? I'm gonna get you a nicer one. That's the whole point. Making sure that we understand where these things coming from. Because people are gonna be petty. But he don't want us to be petty for other people's pettiness. He wants them to be petty all by themselves. But I say unto you, I'm sorry. 40. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy coat also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with them too. Twain, that's what twain means. Go with them too. Give to him that asketh thee. And from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. But this is the killer right here. Because this was what was commonly being taught at the time that he came on the scene. And we still see to a large degree that these things are being taught by the popular people this day. And if you go against this thinking, you go against this teaching, guess what? Now you are siding with the enemy. You are sell out. Hold on. Got the message. Switch the headpiece. Now you're siding with the enemy. You got Stockholm Syndrome. You this, that, and third. You know, you're everything but a child. You part of the enemy. You part of the system. But hold up. But if the Messiah is saying on one hand that what you're doing is a great thing, then how is it that what he is saying to you is a bad thing? He said, 543, ye have heard that if had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Love your friends. Love your people. And hate those who are not your people. But I say unto you, love your enemy. They stop slinging out cuss words at you. bless them. Bless them that curse you. Bless them that talk bad about you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Hold on, that's a hard pill to swallow. That's a hard pill to swallow. But do we believe it or not? Or is this the slave master's Bible? Or is this the corrupt writing of those who wish to keep us subjugated? Is it? Ye have heard that it has been said, that's the 43, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Is this a slave master's Bible? See? For he maketh his son to rise. And see, this is the point that's the killer. He maketh his son to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Didn't we just read something about that in Yahushua ben Sirach? I said rain, y'all don't even know where rain is going. See? You think about it. For every person that is out there that's about to do something bad, y'all ain't saying, I'm not going to shine the sun on that person. We got a man in the news now, that man Epstein. He raping little girls. But y'all ain't stop him from seeing a beautiful sunrise. Y'all see the compound he got? He got a beautiful compound right there in the Caribbean. I'm sure he's seen plenty of beautiful sunrises and sunsets. But now he's getting his just due for raping all them little girls. And they're going to keep him on tight watch because the prosecuting attorney said, oh, no, you're not going to escape by suicide, brother. You're going to face judgment, at least in this legal system. And it goes back to what we talked about last week about even within this system, there's supposed to be a quote-unquote certain sense of morality. But this is Satan's system. This is the adversary system. This system ain't set up for believers. But even though we know him as the adversary, this is the type of stuff he loves. But yet and still, this man's going to go down for something like that. When did she show it? I heard the attorney general brought back the federal death penalty. Look into some of the acts of these first five people. And you will say, why should my federal tax dollars go towards keeping this person alive? A man who shot his two-year-old child point blank in the head in front of the mother because he said, I want you to remember you caused this to happen. What kind of evil man looks at his own child?
Come on.
And because you're angry with the mother, choose to do that. Hey, we ain't getting off into that. Back to 544. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of Abba. Be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and setteth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? How are you representing him? How are you being better? How are you being like him? How are you aligning yourself with him? 546. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? You just like them. If you act like that, and if you salute your brethren only, it's so funny because didn't we talk about that last week? Saluting every man, Yahushua ben Sirach talked about salute the man. See? Don't deprive the man of a salute. If you salute, if you say, what's up, bro? You got to shalom everybody. What's going on, bro? How you feeling? All right, man, it's good. If you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? You ain't doing no better than others. If you go to Chick-fil-A and order a sandwich, my pleasure, my pleasure. That person that's been on their feet all day don't really mean that. I found a Joy Compression socks yesterday. Compression socks are the best thing for tired, aching feet and legs. I'm telling you what I learned yesterday. And it will put more pep in your step as you pushing them heavy beds around the hospital. As you on your feet on it, you loading up the refrigerator, unloading pallets. Them compression socks, as you back in that freezer, compression socks, like they brought new energy to my feet and my legs. But what good is any of this that we do if you don't do it for the right reason? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more, 547, than even the publicans say? 548, and this is the last scripture. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And it doesn't mean that you have to be a perfect human being. It does require that you be better than the average. You know, he even said, because this is one of the things that was said to Abraham, right? And we know that Abraham was not perfect by any stretch of the terms. But Abraham did have a reputation of, even when he had one of the most painful situations that could take place in your adult life, going through circumcision at 90-something years old, when he saw visitors coming along the way, he had no problem propping himself up and going to meet them halfway. So whatever physical pain, which I'm sure that physical pain caused some mental distress, he made sure he found the wherewithal within himself in the heat of the day to go out and greet those people and entreat them. And guess what? He got a tremendous blessing from it. And these things that were talked about in this chapter, they're not easy things to do. They're very difficult things to do. It goes against who we are. It means we've got to swallow our pride sometimes. It means sometimes we got to go back and, as they say, eat crow in some instances. Sometimes we got to step back from a situation. But he wants us to be disciplined and well-rounded individuals and people who, as he says, represent the Father, which is in heaven. So love is being something different than yourself and being more like your Father. Shalom. Cocoon family. Blessed are you, Yah, King of the universe, Rock of all eternity, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, and all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin, unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Brother Matthias, you close us out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your father. You shall be my people, and I will be your God.
A new heart you've given unto me. A new spirit you put within me. You've taken my stony heart away, and you have given me a heart of flesh to praise you. Sprinkle clean water on me. Clean, yeah, clean, clean.